This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're giving out shovels right now. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Who gets your shovel, Cordell?
I'm going to give my shovel to the construction workers on 695. Okay. It feels like this construction has been going on for, it feels like an eternity, when in all actuality it's been probably like a year and a half, on the way to 2 years. But it slows down 695 for no reason. Every time you get in between like Security Boulevard all the way up to maybe like exit 20 on 695, it's just a slowdown for no reason. And the lights are flashing. I don't know what's causing the slowdown, because it's not really impeding much of the lanes. But for whatever reason, it's causing people to feel like they can't drive. And it just grinds my gears when it's already a 30 minute ride turns into an hour and a half ride. Our show, my Fresh Take show last night, starts at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. I left my house at 4:45. I got here like 10 minutes before the show started.
Well,
it just doesn't make sense to me that it takes that long to get here on a straight shot. I ended up having to take an alternative route yesterday just to make it here on time. But the shovel has to go to the construction workers out there, who I'm sure are doing a great job, but I'm just not quite sure that they're finishing it in a timely manner.
My shovel is, we don't have Joe in the studio right now, so we won't have the shovel sound effects.
Well, he's running.
He's running right now. I was watching the Orioles game yesterday, and it's okay when umpires get things wrong. It's okay. But my shovel goes to the Major League Baseball replay system. Not just yesterday, because I feel like they got that call wrong. On almost every camera angle, it looked like he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Play at the plate for the Orioles, if you guys missed it yesterday afternoon game. Some of you were working, I understand. But there was a play at the plate involving Rivera. Emmanuel Rivera. He reached over the glove, tagged the plate, and then was tagged. The replay on four different angles showed that, but you did not overturn it. And it's not the first time it's happened, and not just the Oriole players. I see it constantly around baseball. Why do you have the replay system if you're afraid to overturn a call? It's too close to overturn. It's either safe or out. It shouldn't be too close.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too close, then you don't need a replay system, because you can't determine. A replay system is supposed to determine it. I saw a game last night. Runner's safe at second. They called him out. They challenged it. The replay said it's out. It didn't say it confirmed. That means you didn't confirm it. It means it's just too close to call him out. I just hate this replay system, the challenge system, because they get it wrong too often. Marty on the road has a shovel. What's up, Marty?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
My shovel is for people who don't pay their taxes or file their taxes on time, and I should have said I'm the tax wizard.
So you got people now rushing to try to get it done?
I got a call yesterday from somebody who hasn't filed their taxes in 11 years. The IRS wants $1 million from him, and he's going to be lucky to escape with his rear parts or his heart.
Ooh, ooh. Hey, all right, man.
That doesn't sound fun.
That doesn't sound fun at all. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Good morning, fellas.
How you doing,
what's
man?
Up?
I'm good, man. It feels good to join the Soul Patrol.
Jump aboard, man. Jump aboard.
Yeah, man. You know, but this morning, man, you know, early in the morning, y'all was hating on my man George Pickens signing with the Cowboys,
man.
You know. Yeah, you know, y'all know when y'all heard that signing, automatically it made the Cowboys a threat, you know, to the NFC East. Not just the NFC East, man, the NFC.
Did it?
Man, you know, put that on top of the great draft we had. Got the running back from Texas, Jaden Blue, who's been compared to Jamal Gibbs from the Lions. Man, just having a freakish athlete like Pickens, man, you know, 174 catches, 2,800 yards, 13 touchdowns. The guy's going to be a beast, man, and him side-by-side with CeeDee Lamb is going to give Prescott, you know,
so,
man.
Hold on. Am I getting this right? You gave us the shovel?
Yeah, well, y'all open.
I just hung up on
him. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to see if he was going to go as far as to either predict a Cowboys Super Bowl, because it sounded like he wasn't far from it. Or, you know, are they going to be in the conference championship this year for the first time since, what, 95, 96? I mean, I was trying to see how far he was going to take it, because it was getting progressively worse as he was talking. He was climbing that mountain. So eventually he was going to get to the point to where he's predicting the Cowboys Super Bowl. So you might have saved him from himself.
No, I just like hanging up on him.
I mean, that's fine, too.
Him and Mike in Baltimore. I like hanging up on
that's
him.
That's fine, too.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're calling it the Soul Patrol this morning. Hey, Joe, do you have a shovel?
Yeah, I do a quick one.
All right.
I'm going to give it to ESPN. Not PTI. Around the Horn's last show is on May 23rd.
Okay.
I love Around the Horn. I used to watch that show every single day along with PTI. And I just think it's awful that they're getting rid of that show in terms of what it does for young journalists, young people that are in sports.
Okay, all right.
I mean, even
I never thought about it that way, but you're right. A lot of people have gotten their start from that show.
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing back, like, they had Kate Fagan on yesterday, Jameel Hill on yesterday.
Wow.
They're having, like, a whole
Jameel Hill came on?
Yeah. That was our first time on ESPN in, like, 6 years, I think.
Didn't they have a falling out?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And I think that they're kind of just like, all right, well, we're taking your show away, so you can have it on whoever you want, which I appreciate, but I don't know. I'm pretty bummed. I during the pandemic, that's when I really started to watch that show, and I will admit I did it because we needed show topics, and I would just steal them from there. but I really grew to love it, watch it every single day. So that's a bummer. But I feel like they're slowly also like pushing Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, hey. And this too, because we want the 5 o'clock hour back,
dude. Yeah. How the mighty have fallen. I mean, I don't really watch the Four Letter Network like that anymore, unless a game is on.
Outside the 5 o'clock
shows,
hour, yeah.
I used to same with as you, PTI, Around the Horn. They started losing me when they got rid of Highly Questionable. Obviously, you don't really have a pulse on what the people really want when you cut a show like that. So that was the beginning of the end for me.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Cordell Woodland joining me today on this fantastic Friday. Are you getting the feeling the fan base is ready to give up on the Baltimore Orioles? We'll talk about that at 7:30. But on the other side, I'm going to talk some Ravens. Should they pursue a reunion with Jadeveon Clowney? If they started the season today, would you be satisfied with the edge rushers? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities.
and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
7:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:16 now. Jadeveon Clowney is out there, Cordell Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens went out and did a great job in the draft, getting Mike Green in the second round after he fell with some off-the-field issues. They took a flyer on him, picked him up in spite of those issues. I love it. He was my number one choice in the draft. When I heard about the character issues, I didn't think they'd get him. So safety that he got was actually my number one after that. So mm-hmm. I got both of the guys that I wanted.
You good.
However, I would love to have a veteran presence along with this guy coming off the edge.
Yeah, I don't think you can have too many pass rushers. If there's one lesson to be learned from the Philadelphia Eagles, not even just from this recent Super Bowl run, you can even go back to the one that they won a few years back with Nick Foles at quarterback. They have pass rush groups. Mm-hmm. They have units, and it's not just one to two to even three guys that they send after the quarterback. They come in bunches. They come in waves.
That's why they always at the top of the league in sacks, despite not having a premier rusher.
And they keep their guys fresh. And you think about a guy like a Jadeveon Clowney coming back here, I think his snap count was pretty high 2 years ago when he was here with Baltimore, where, you know, he tied his career high in sacks with 9.5. But I can't help but wonder, bringing Clowney back now with Van Noy, with Matt Abike, with Mike Green, Adafe Owe coming off a double-digit sack season. And who knows, maybe Tavius Robinson takes a step forward in getting after the quarterback. I'm not as optimistic on guys like David Ajabo as people are, but they have guys. And so if you can convince me that giving Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy like a third or a quarter of the snaps that they're used to getting, giving that to them now and maybe less turns into more, I could buy that, but I think that needs that was a big point for the Ravens defense going into the offseason, finding ways to get after the quarterback more, finding ways to get after the quarterback and gotta have his situations, passing down situations and kind of going with that, forcing more turnovers. So I'd like to see Clowney back. I think it makes all the sense in the world for him to be on their radar. Yeah. I'm curious to see what the price point would be.
Why not Khalil Mack?
Well,
Khalil Mack has not missed any significant games now in 4 years, since 2021. I know he's, 34 years old now, but he had 6 sacks last year. Clowney had 5.5. 2 years ago, he had 17 sacks. I think you put him along with that. I just think in terms of getting his hands on a quarterback, I like him. I like what Clowney does. Now, if you're telling me you like the fact that Clowney can set the edge better, which he's phenomenal at, okay, I'm buying into Clowney. But if we're getting someone who's going to get to the quarterback, I like Khalil Mack.
I mean, Khalil Mack has done it at one of the highest levels. I mean, we're talking about a dude that had 17 sacks 2 years ago. So I mean, I would take Khalil Mack over Clowney, and the injury questions with Clowney, you don't necessarily have those with Khalil Mack. So, yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with either of them. If I had the choice, I'd take Khalil Mack. He'll probably cost a little more, and that, I think, could end up being the difference. The Ravens, like, especially this time of year, they're looking to bargain bin shop a little bit. And so if Oweh wasn't coming off the year that he had, and maybe you don't have Mike Green, I could see them willing to spend what it may take to get Khalil Mack, even though he's like 34 years old. He's going to cost a nice amount. I think he's going to cost more than
have Brian McFarland on the show in the 8 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him, can the Ravens afford something like that?
Yeah.
Another guy that's out there, a little younger, Josh Sweat is still a free agent, am I right?
Is Josh Sweat a free agent?
He was a free agent when I checked a couple of weeks ago. I don't think anybody signed him as of yet.
It looks like he's with the Cardinals.
Oh, he's with the Cardinals. Okay. All right. My fault. Never mind then. A couple of weeks ago when I checked, he was out there. So the Cardinals,
he's coming off of a Super Bowl run. He had a really good year. I honestly, he could have been Super Bowl MVP as good as he played. So with him, with you saying he was still out there a couple of weeks ago, it probably was just him looking for the right type of deal because, yeah, he earned himself a nice amount of money, but also the production may not always, along with that. Yeah.
4 years, $76 million. I love him. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Soul Patrol, myself and Cordell Woodland. If they did nothing, would you be happy going into the season with what they have right now as far as pass rusher?
I'd take it, but it's not going to make me feel much differently about this pass rush than I have compared to years past. I mean, and look, last year they were second in the league in sacks. The year before that, they led the league in sacks. So this has been a team that has been relatively really good, elite, I should say, at getting after the quarterback. But again, the numbers don't always tell
Chuck
the
Smith,
story.
Baby.
Chuck Smith has been great. He's been a godsend for them, no doubt. He was one of their biggest offseason acquisitions, player or coach. But I think the big thing for them is the situational pass rush. Third downs, fourth quarter, generating turnovers.
When you got
to
get one.
That's what needs to change
for them.
When you got to have it, they haven't had a guy that can go get the quarterback when you need it. Maybe they have that now in Mike Green.
Pass rushers, to me, are just like having that receiver, like having that running back. Everybody knows it's third and one, you're going to run the football. Yep. Everybody knows it. You still give it to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know, it's third and long. Everybody knows you're keying on, you know, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, whomever that guy is. He still picks up the first down. Everybody knows this edge rush is coming off the edge. Either he's going to get to the quarterback or he's going to disrupt things so badly that play is not going to happen. We have not had that guy in years.
No. And I wonder if a piece of that has been, has been a little bit of a crutch for the Ravens because they could lean back on the, they're smart people. So I think they understand they need the situational pass rush. But I do think it's easy to fall in love looking at the numbers and seeing where they rank in the league in sacks. But you look at their pressure rates and stuff, it doesn't always go hand in hand.
I was smiling because we had this inside joke on this show about quarterback pressures.
Mm-hmm.
And I say in this era, quarterback pressures mean nothing. You got to bring me down because these guys right now, if you flush them out of the pocket, they're going to run. They can throw on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Pressures don't mean what they used to mean back in the day. It disrupt my timing. Disrupt my timing 4-4. That's what I run in a 40. I'm gone. I mean, you got to bring quarterbacks down now. That whole quarterback hits, quarterback rushes, quarterback hurries. These guys don't rattle like that anymore.
No, I mean, these dudes are making a living off of throwing under pressure, and they're tougher to get down than ever before, which is why sometimes I feel for these pass rushers when they're taking a quarterback down by his legs and they're getting flagged for going too low. It's like, dude, I got to get his legs how else do you expect me to tackle a guy like Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
You want me to go, or Josh Allen? You want me to try to hit Josh Allen up high? I got to get his legs. It's the only way.
I call Josh Allen a more athletic version of Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm. These are big dudes, man. These are big dudes, and they're agile. Lamar, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's as slim as they come, but he's not easy to get.
And he doesn't take big hits.
No.
He knows how to avoid big hits.
Jalen Hurts, I mean, you got quarterbacks now that they're ready for contact. They're ready to break these tackles. They're not just drop. You don't have the Brett Favre giving himself up or right. Michael Strahan, you know, giving them records and stuff. That's not happening these days.
410-583-1057 is the number. I'm still a little butthurt about that, man. That was a punk-ass move, man.
Well, who's the dude that had the record?
Yeah, Mark Gastineau.
Yeah, he was pissed.
He should be.
Yeah.
He's going to give up a record.
His life.
Yeah, come on, man. Steve Molesky joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, you are the fan base. It's you out there on the other side of this microphone. Are you starting to give up on the Baltimore Orioles? It's Friday. They play on the West Coast. That's the last thing you want to do tonight. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Cordell Woodland, Ed and Jeremy out today. They will be back on Monday. Ed, from what we're hearing, he'll be in studio on Monday. Am I right, Joe?
Yeah, we will find out today. But he said he told me that he would be shocked if he wasn't here.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's kind of breaking news.
Breaking news.
Do you feel like the fan base around here giving up on the Orioles? Or ready to give up on them? I don't think they have yet. You think they're ready to?
I think that they're on their way there. I think it's happening. You watch, you know, Twitter or any social media during an Orioles game. Not going to be a lot of positivity these days. And look, that's because there's nothing positive to talk about. They're only reacting to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is getting to that point to where patience is running thin. And I don't think it's just a this year thing. I really don't. I think it's people have, you know, taken the last 2 years where they've gone and gotten swept in the postseason. And people have kind of taken that on the chin. I think obviously last year was extremely disappointing because it came off the year prior where it was the same result. And I thought they had a better team last year than they had the year before. But now it's like when you see them get off to the start that they're on now, and I get it, the injuries have been bad and they've had some bad luck. It just feels like a snowball effect. And right now, I think for a lot of fans, it's just not a lot of positive to lean on. Like, it's one thing if they're losing, but right. It's like, you know, it's cool because, you know, I see this and this and this, and I feel like over time, these things will add up to success coming in the future. Right now, it's tough to really lean on a lot of foundational things with the Orioles to make you feel like this slow start is just a blip.
410-583-1057, that's the number. I think what you say is accurate in this. I think the fans were already tired from last year. I think mm-hmm. they were already frustrated from last year. Not just the postseason, but how the team finished down the stretch.
Yeah.
I think they went into it with a lot of positive vibes in the 2024 season, and they got off to a great start. And they came to a screeching halt towards the end of the season. There were some injuries, but Santander wasn't hitting well. Mm-hmm. Adley Rutschman wasn't hitting well. Some of the guys that played every day were not producing. And I think this year, I agree with you. What we're having this year from some of the fans is not just because of what's happening this year. It's a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
From last year as well.
And I also think the lackluster off seasons play a huge part because that was one of the big things that Oriole fans were looking forward to. You know, going all the way back to this liftoff from here. Mm-hmm. And whether it was misinterpreted or not, that's just what the overall expectation was from that quote, was that they were going to go out and start spending right. some money. They were going to go out and start bringing in some big names. And that didn't happen. And this offseason, you get the new, you know, you're coming off the new ownership and everything is, oh, you know, this front office has all the leeway to do what they want. We're backing them monetarily, all this and that. So everybody's like, all right, what are the Orioles going to do this offseason? And it just felt a little underwhelming when you lose key pieces like yeah. Corbin Burns, you lose Anthony Santander.
See, I think the Corbin Burns thing is unfair because Corbin Burns even admitted Orioles offered to pay him.
Well, I don't think it was the fact that people were upset that it's just the fact of losing him.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, and okay, naturally it's like, what are we replacing that with?
And I think, and I wish Mike Elias would have never used the phrase liftoff, because I came in here after that and said to people who listen to the show, liftoff doesn't mean they're going out and getting free agents. That's not what liftoff means. No one believed me. I said, that's not what liftoff means. Mm-hmm. He means liftoff as you've been asking to see these guys. Right after liftoff, you saw Colton Cowser. You saw Jordan Westbrook. You saw all the guys that they told you about. That's liftoff. And I mean, liftoff means you're launching them.
Right.
That's what liftoff. You're launching your guys. No one wanted to hear that because it is typical of people. You can tell them facts, but if that's not how they interpret it, they're not going to believe you.
People hear what they want to hear.
And I said it over and over. I said, that's not what he meant by that. He never meant that. You keep in mind, who was the owner when he said liftoff?
Yeah, it was
Peter Angelos.
Yeah.
What makes you think they were going out and spending? Now, to be honest with you, if he said that this year, I would have asked him, well, you got to define that because mm-hmm. you got new ownership now. Does that mean you're going? But with the old ownership, how do you think all of a sudden, with all of these cats in the minors, that they were just going to go out and spend? I mean, they brought up all the prospects that they said. And if you recall, Cordell, during that time, there was frustration in the fan base of all the talks of the prospects that we didn't see them.
Right.
So he was responding to your frustration at the time. Where's Jackson Holiday? Where's Jordan Westbrook? Where's all these people we hear about? And then they slowly brought these people up right after that. Now, I think Jackson Holiday is starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's starting to get it, man. He's starting to find himself.
No, he's a stud.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was one of the guys that Mike Elias was stingy with. But I think even that, the handling of the prospects is a part of the frustration with the fan base. When you get upset, you know how like you get into it with the other half and then all of a sudden it just feels like all of a sudden things that you're not even mad about in the moment, but stuff that you was pissed off about weeks ago
and
comes
another
up.
Thing.
Right. You know, just something I've been holding in. Now I'm gonna let it go. And I think that's a little bit of the Orioles, because especially when you look around the league and you see guys like Kyle Stowers getting off to a great start, now people are upset that, you know, that the that they didn't maximize the value of the guys that they did get rid of. And it's even guys here now that people feel like maybe they missed their window with maximizing on their value. Guys like Heston Kjerstad right now, Kobe Mayo, like their value is probably free falling these days, right? Or fair or not. It you're not seeing a lot.
I think the only one that matters with is Kobe Mayo, because in my opinion, they never planned to trade Heston Kjerstad, they did Kobe Mayo.
And maybe, and I can understand that. I guess it's just that mixed with also the whole way that we got here, the complete overhaul, rebuild, and just stinking up the joint for a couple of years. And look, it worked. It got them the draft picks that they wanted. They ended up hitting home runs on a lot of those picks, early, mid, whatever. They hit on the draft. And that's usually the hiccup in rebuilds. Right. Most teams don't have the batting average that the Orioles did during the draft years. And then they go and win a division. They have 100 win seasons, and they're making consecutive postseasons. But now it just starts to feel like they're moonwalking a little bit, even going back to last year. So I think that's the frustration with the fans, is that it's starting. And look, this may be very doom and gloom, and it's still just the early part of May, but it does feel like they're moonwalking a little bit. Just going back to last year, you could go back to like June of last year. It feels like they've been backpedaling, where for about a year and a half, they were on they were in the fast lane, speeding through traffic.
Steve Molesky joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we want to hear from you. Are you getting the feeling the fan base is ready to give up on the Baltimore Orioles? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:46 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Are you starting to get the feeling that the fan base is getting ready to give up on the Orioles?
I can't get over the rejoin. It makes me feel like I'm about to watch a Bill Cosby, Sidney Poitier movie or something. You know, let's do it again or something like that.
Up till Saturday night.
Yeah.
Which one did I like better? I think you're right. I think
let's do it again is my movie better. Right there.
Was that the one where they had Lil' Seymour? Big Percy and Lil' Seymour?
Yeah. Well, is that the one where they were the motive? They work with the kids or something like that. Maybe that's not Let's Do It Again.
No. You're thinking about another movie.
It's Let's Do It Again, the boxing one where they fix the boxing match.
No.
Dang. So which one?
Let's Do It Again, I believe, is I get them confused. When they were robbed and at a casino, and they made everybody take the clothes off and
Now, let's do it again as the one with JJ from Good Times, where they fixed the boxing match and stuff.
I'm getting Uptown Saturday right.
There's also a piece of the action.
A piece of the action, yes. It's like a three-part. It's like three of them, yeah.
James Earl Jones, Sidney Poitier, and Bill Cosby.
Yeah, a piece of the action is the one I'm forgetting.
That is a hell of a lineup.
And those movies were great.
I watched all of those movies when I was a kid, with my mom.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got put. We're talking about the 70s. Yeah,
you had to watch them. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Are you starting to get the feeling that the fans are giving up on the Orioles? Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning. What's good, Rob and Cordell? How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good, sir. Thank you. Great question, man. Great segment. From my humble opinion, as a guy from Baltimore, I never gave up on the O's when they were bad, as far as the Orioles themselves, the team name, who they are, I just think it's easier to give up on the people involved. You guys kind of talk about that a lot on your show. It's when you hear folks call in and say fire Hider and so on. It's right. Like, I'm just kind of giving up on the mindset because it just didn't seem like it's evolved from what Mike Elias created, Rob. And that's just my opinion. But okay. I'm kind of giving up on that particular direction a little bit.
So you think it's like they're just spinning tires right now?
Yes, sir, 100%, because it doesn't feel like they took that next strong step forward off of what they were saying and kind of showing that we were building, right? I mean, we built a winning team.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. That's a good perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, once we got to that point, okay, what's next now? What do we do now?
I think they're so process-driven and plan-driven, Mike Elias and those guys, because that was a lot of what they talked about when they first got here, talked about their plan and everything that they had laid out. And maybe it was 2 years ago or something like that, but everybody kept saying, which I hate the phrase of ahead of schedule, right? And the Orioles had won the division right. That year. And people were like, they're a year or two ahead of where we thought they'd be.
Right.
And a part of me does wonder, like, if them getting to that point quicker than they thought that they would, mess them up a little bit on their route, because it seems like a lot of the moves that they make are moves that they were making when the team was trying to get out of the rut, and that's fine. But like I said on our show last night, I feel like Mike Elias, the gambles that he's taking aren't the right gambles. He's taking gambles on trying to turn water into wine right now, when that was cool.
Someone said to me this, Cordell, that he's too smart for his own good.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I agree. I think just like that. Like, he found the diamonds in the rough, like Felix Batista and those guys, the Rule 5 draft picks. They found these guys. And I think now, that was cool when you were a losing team. But now when you're a proven team, where you're a true contender, those risks need to be different. Those risks need to turn from, going to get a Ramon Laureano, who's great right now for them. He's right. One of the few guys that's hitting, but turning that into a risk like going and trading for Alex Bregman. Like, those are the types of risks that I feel like you should be taking when you're a true contender. And it just seems like the Orioles aren't taking those types
Bregman
of swings.
Well, Bregman was a free agent. They wouldn't have had to trade for him.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Go get him. Let's go get Evan in Florida. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Doing good. I know you guys like people to come prepared, so I guess I've got some stats.
Okay.
I'm starting to give up on them because since April 20th, they're 16 for 123 with runners in scoring position, no clutch hitting, and the reinforcements, I just don't think they're coming. Like, I know you guys like to point to injury, but, like I think Cordell alluded to it, they weren't performing since maybe June of last year. Rutschman started to slide. Santander was sliding down the stretch. Mountcastle's been rough. And I just don't know if people like, Westberg and O'Neill, Arias coming back, or Couser is going to turn that kind of a thing around where, the pitching for the last week has looked okay, but the bats just can't do it. They've only scored more than 3 runs in 50% of their games since late June last year. And I just, it's starting to look like more of a prolonged thing. I just don't know how much longer this current makeup is sustainable.
Thanks a lot, Evan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Liberty Town and get Bill. What's up, Bill?
Yeah. What's up, man? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think yet that, in all honesty, how you can't think this thing, how you can't be not supportive of the Orioles. I wouldn't care if they had Greg Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz. Even those guys had run support. These guys can't hit. I mean, I don't know what it is, and it goes back to the All-Star break last year. Mm-hmm. They cannot hit. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I get the injury thing, but Rushman's not injured. Yu Henderson's not injured. Mountcastle's not injured. Why aren't they hitting? Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Let's go to Dave in Salisbury. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call today, Rob.
Good morning.
I just want to talk about it. Now, I haven't totally given up on the Orioles this year because I'm hearing all these MLB experts, particularly before the season started, that said, you know, that the Orioles, you know, were actually going to be, you know, contending for a division title this year. So right now as a fan, yeah, I'm disappointed, but they must see more than I see because right now I'm seeing, you know, some bad, you know, situational hitting with hitters. And I don't see it right now, but these MLB experts are supposed to be pretty knowledgeable, and they said the Orioles finished second place this year and get around 90 wins. So I can't see it, you know, as a you know regular fan, but I guess they know a lot more than we know. So, yeah, I guess we got to hold our heads up high, and I guess things will get better eventually.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. What was that? What in the world was that? That may be the most sane call he's ever made. What was that? Can we get that Dave in Salisbury all the time, Joe? What was that?
This dude keeps calling in with different numbers, too. So I don't know it's him.
He's catching you off your A game.
Man. That was succinct and to the point by Dave. That's not normal.
That's not normal at all. That was normal Dave.
I mean, I think coming into the year, yeah, you probably did have some sort of expectations for the Birds. I mean, the injuries kind of started almost right away, but, you know, before they really started to pile up the way that they have now, yeah, I could understand that type of optimism.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Towson. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Rob. And I want to run a couple things by real quick.
Okay.
First thing is, there's some bad juju going on with the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. And you know about this, Rob. You're around them. They let a guy go that had been in that organization for 40 years, the Oriole trainer, the head trainer. And nothing was said about it at all. That's wrong. Why don't you tell us, the fans, what happened with the Oriole trainer, Rob?
Who, won't I tell him? What the hell you think I was in that meeting? what are you talking about when I tell him? I wasn't in that meeting. I have no idea what happened with him. When
you
I tell him, how do I know what, John? What do you, what, John, no. John, what do you work? What do you work, John?
Hey.
What do you work? John, what do you work? What do you work?
It's not important.
No. Yes, it is. What do you work, John?
I'm retired.
Okay, retired from where?
That's not important.
It is important. No, John. Why are you protective, John? Why are you protective? Where did you work?
You know exactly what happened.
No, I don't know. Look, I want you to tell me what happens high up where you work. I want you to tell me where you work first, and then tell me the meetings that you were in on the high end when they hired and fired people. Where you work?
40 years.
What do you work, John? Where did you retire from?
Don't duck the question, man.
I'm not ducking no questions. If I knew, I tell you things that I know. Whether you know it or not, I tell you things I know. Nobody. How do I know how they fired a trainer? Are you freaking kidding me? That's the most asinine question I've been asked. Rob, tell us why they really fired him. You sound like an imbecile right now. Seriously. And tell me where you worked. Folks are protective when you ask them, aren't they?
That's not important, Rob.
That's not important.
That's not important.
How do I know why the Orioles fired a trainer?
Because you know everything.
Rob, they got rid of some ushers. They got rid of some ushers last year. Where are they, Rob?
I was rolling with them until he asked me what happened. What happened? I don't know why he fired a trainer. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I didn't know that they offered Burns $45 million till he told us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew.
Where is he, Rob?
That's crazy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Brian McFarland will join us, salary cap expert at 845. But on the other side, maybe he knows. Steve Molesky joining us, talk baseball on the Fan.